Almighty and ever-living God, you hate nothing that you have made, and you forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and honest hearts, so that truly repenting of our sins, we may receive from you, the God of all mercy, full pardon and forgiveness, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please come. In us, O God, the work of your salvation.
We may show forth your glory in the world.
By the cross and passion of your Son, our Lord,
bring us all your saints to the joy of his resurrection.
Gracious God, out of your love and mercy, you breathed into dust of the ground the breath of your life, creating us to serve you and our neighbors. Call forth our prayers and acts of kindness, and strengthen us to face our mortality with confidence in the mercy of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the prophet Joel. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness spread upon the mountains, a great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been seen from old, nor will be ever again after in ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts, not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the aged. Gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Paul in 2 Corinthians. We entreat you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together for him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found in our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through endurance, great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, and hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors, and yet we are true, as unknown, and yet we are well known, as dying, and see, we are alive, as punished, yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the disciples, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. We pray together. Stir our hearts to believe, O Lord, and create within our hearts new and right spirits. For our sins are ever before us. Against you and you alone have we sinned and done what is evil in your sight. We have acknowledged the same even tonight. We gather as your beloved, knowing from dust we have come, to dust we shall return, and that we as a people are rebellious. So bring us to our knees in a confession rendered, that we may hear a word of forgiveness. In the name of Christ we do pray. Amen. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It happened late one afternoon when King David got up from his couch and was walking about on the roof of the house that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. David sent someone to inquire about the woman. It was reported back to him that this is Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, the daughter of Eliam. So David sent messengers to get her. Then she returned to his house, and he laid with her. The woman conceived, and she sent word to King David, "I am pregnant." In the ensuing mornings, David wrote a letter to Joab, the field commander of his armies, set Uriah the Hittite, the husband of Bathsheba, in the front of the hardest fighting, and then draw back from him so that he may be struck down and die. And Joab did as the king commanded. And Uriah the Hittite was killed in battle. But the thing that David had done infuriated God. And the Lord sent a prophet, Nathan, to David, telling David a story about the injustice of two men, one rich, one poor. And the rich man with many lambs, stealing the poor man's only one lamb to feed to his guests for dinner. Nathan told David the story, and it kindled within King David anger against this rich man's injustice. David declaring, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die." And Nathan, the prophet, declared, "You are the man. You are the man." And David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord." The story, which many of you are familiar with, is from 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. And in the life of the church on Ash Wednesday, Psalm 51 on the front of your worship folders has always been the psalm which is used. And that psalm has normally been attached, if you will, to David's confession to Nathan of his actions regarding his kingly affair with Bathsheba. Whether directly attributed to David or not, the psalm, when heard in the context of the story I just told you, of the abuse of royal power, is stunning in its humility. Imagine if we applied the words of Psalm 51 to David's lips, having been encountered by Nathan. "Have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. For I know my sin is ever before me, and I have done what is evil in your sight. Indeed, I was born guilty in my mother's womb. You, God, desire truth in the inward being." Imagine that response versus what we would expect to hear from royal power who gets caught. It probably would go something like this, what we'd expect. "Really? I mean, how can it be my fault? What is she doing bathing on the roof in the late afternoon? What am I supposed to do? Redirect my eyes?" She was asking for it. Certainly she knew the king's palace was in direct line of her bathing time. "I'll bet the whole thing was a setup just for access to my kingly wealth." Nobody made her come to the palace. She came as of her own free will. She must have wanted it. Sure, I suppose the threat of torture or being displaced from her home, but nonetheless, show a little discipline, will you, Bathsheba? In the meantime, while Bathsheba is signing up for hashtag me too, David's response to Nathan's prophetic word was not one we expect, nor frankly is it one we hear in these days. A broken and contrite heart God will not despise. David knew he remained unrighteous. He remained unworthy before God. He had not blurred the distinction between the creator and the creature. As Luther said when commenting on Psalm 51 and David's response to the same, the righteous person is the one who accuses him or herself, proving God's righteousness. The ungodly and proud person is first of all the accuser of others, the defender of him or herself, the self-justifier. And for that very reason, he or she is automatically suggesting that he or she has no need for God. When you can justify yourself. That has a very different feel and tone to it than, oh Lord, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Such claims for blamelessness sound very different from a broken and contrite heart God will not despise. This past week, I was reading in the New York Times the story of the actor Ben Affleck, who has struggled deeply in his life with alcohol abuse, having just gone through the third time a treatment for the same. And I don't know Mr. Affleck, nor his faith tradition, or if he has one. But I do know in the article, as he was being interviewed, he was a broken and contrite heart. He was brought to nothingness. He was no longer able to hide the truth of his own life. And I quote from him in the article, people with compulsive behavior, and he declares, and I am one, that's a confession, have this kind of basic discomfort all the time, and they are trying to make it go away. You're trying to make yourself feel better with eating or drinking or sex or gambling or shopping or name it. But that ends up making things and life worse. Then you do more of it to get that worse discomfort to go away. And then the real pain starts. And it becomes a vicious cycle that you cannot break. Affleck goes on to say, my drinking destroyed my marriage and took away the woman who I loved. And finally, he added, thinking about today's Psalm 51, one of the things about recovery that I think people sometimes overlook is the fact that it inculcates certain values. Be honest. Be accountable. Be kind to other people. apologize when you are wrong. It's ironic how much of what Affleck describes about recovery is at the center of Psalm 51. Absent a broken and contrite heart, Affleck is not able to say what he did, nor acknowledge his own frailty and brokenness. He has no room anymore for blaming his now ex-wife. To the contrary, he's deeply saddened by what he did to destroy his own marriage. Not a hint of self-justification, not a hint of being victim. Even as he described his alcoholic father, his alcoholic brother, his uncle who killed himself, or his aunt, the heroin addict. Affleck's confession, at least that's what I choose to call it, is parallel to the Christian tradition's understanding of humility. Not a hint of arrogance in the whole article. And while he did not name his behavior towards others as sin, that curved in on oneself, that self-justifying before the advent of a broken and contrite heart, he did acknowledge what we would call sin and his contempt for others. And he bore witness to the same. But that sin, even the word is rather unfashionable these days, as would be an Ash Wednesday service where we acknowledge, from dust we have come, to dust we shall return. We seem to prefer words like brokenness or limitedness or mistakes to calling something what it is, sin. Which on this Ash Wednesday is exactly what we are willing to say in the broken and contrite heart spirits that we bring to the rail. We call something what it is. We are mortal. We are sinful. From dust we have come. To dust we shall return. Yes, we are self-absorbed. And because we're quite serious about a profession of the God who created the heavens and the earth, because we are quite serious about our profession of Jesus Christ as the Savior who reaches toward us at the point of our brokenness, we also, therefore, take seriously the reality of sin and the confession therein. Like a King David. Or maybe I think like a Ben Affleck. We realize yet again, on this day, not our own worthiness, not our own inherent goodness. We acknowledge on this day, rather, our capacity to do heinous things to other people. We acknowledge our projecting of blame onto others. We acknowledge our failure to do the work of the inward being. But thanks be to God, we are not abandoned by a divine love which seeks to heal and restore us. As God's beloved that confess, we dare to trust in a God in Christ who knows our masquerades and yet loves us and calls us to himself. As Luther said again on Psalm 51 for an Ash Wednesday centuries ago, quote, there is no adornment or garment of the church that is more excellent than the clothing of confession. For this suits the church above all. The one who is most depraved in his or her own eyes is the most handsome before God. And on the contrary, the one who sees him or herself as the most handsome is thoroughly ugly before the divine. Because he or she lacks the light to examine the actual self. A self we have examined tonight and have confessed and have recognized. A broken and contrite heart, God will never despise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.